720 WGN, John Landecker, Linearly Thinking speaking. 11 minutes after 7 at 720 WGN. Thank you for joining the program going until, what? Oh, right, 10 p.m. But before we go anywhere, we're going to start with Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man, the consumer. You're a consumer guide. You're a consumer blogger. Checkbook.org. That's it. Right, Herb?
That's right.
Yeah, you think I'd know by now, for crying out loud.
Well, since I sent you a note, yeah, you would. But you don't think linearly. I hate that word.
Linearly,
yeah.
He's not a linear thinker. Yes,
I know.
There you go.
Yeah, you're a deep thinker.
Oh, yeah, right. Hey, listen, I know we've got a couple of things that you want to get to, including a decision today about tax breaks and energy consumption for electric vehicles, etc. But, you know, you've hit me to so many possible scams. And we're going to have to take a break in a couple of minutes before we can get into the meat of what you really want to talk about. So I thought I'd run this by you off the top of the show. Okay.
Okay.
Without getting into a lot of the minutia of it, I had a fender bender with a CTA bus. Okay. The very next day, I got a text from someone claiming to be, what was the term? There was a phone number, a name. They were texting me about damages and the accident. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. How could, and they wanted me to respond with, information about where it was, what time it was. I'm like, this is incredible. This is the day after this has occurred, right?
So right.
For 2 weeks, I try to reach this person. And the number, every time I call it, is either the voicemail is full or it rings and rings and rings, or I leave a voicemail. One of those three things. Never heard from anybody. So I'm going through this for 2 weeks, and then finally I called the CTA. I gave a very nice person the name of the individual on this text, and they said there's no one who works for the CTA with that name. What was that? Do you have any idea? Because it was just
so random. Had you filed an accident report at that point in time?
No. It was the very next morning.
That's beyond bizarre, because even if somebody on a bus saw it take place and they were trying to scam you out of money, how would they know your cell phone number?
It just blew my mind.
Unless you have it written on the side of your car or something. John, I think you finally stumped me, Mr. Landecker. That's weird. But you were smart to you should have done it earlier, but you were very smart to check with CTA and see what was going on. I have no idea what that was, but obviously either somebody misdialed a digit. I mean, it could very well be but if you called and called and called and never got anybody, that's beyond bizarre,
yeah,
suspicious to me.
I couldn't figure out what their end game was, especially once I never got any communication back from them. Well, there was no one on this bus, by the way, when this little fender bender happened. So
right.
That couldn't have been part of it. At any rate, if you don't know it, it'll be one of those inexplainable mysteries of life that may never be answered.
Before we go to commercial break, since I won't be able to listen to this show, what was your first record you played?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It was, I believe it was about a giraffe.
You know what got me into news? I was
what?
A disc jockey in college, and I played Neil Diamond, Cracklin' Rosie, my favorite song. My roommate in college was Bob Costas. It was his favorite song, so I played it for him. I get a tap on the shoulder, and I get, this is a college radio station. We don't play Neil Diamond. Go become a newsman. That's a true story as to how I became a newsman.
Wait a minute. First of all, Bob Costas was your roommate?
Well, I was his roommate. Yes, exactly.
He has a encyclopedic, that's not the right word. His memory is like an encyclopedia of just about everything, whether it is, I interviewed him once and he started the interview by doing the introduction to the Monkees TV show.
Here they come walking down the...
Exactly.
Yeah. Bob has a photographic memory, although when he did something like the Olympics, he studied for weeks and weeks and weeks, but he has a photographic memory that is absolutely unbelievable. Me, on the other hand, I bless God every day there was a teleprompter when I was on TV.
Tell me about it. It's Herb Weitzbaum, a.k.a. the Consumer Man, contributing editor at checkbook.org. Boy, I can't even talk. And the host of the new Consumerpedia podcast. And we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Herb Weitzbaum. Now, Herb, yesterday the president signed into law the Inflation Reduction Act, and that provides $369 billion in incentives to reduce greenhouse gases. And you've got an article about that. So let's turn it over to you. What's your impression, your opinion, your prediction on this?
Well, the story I wrote for checkbook.org dealt with one of the provisions in this act that deals with reducing greenhouse gases by having a switch to EV cars, electric vehicles. They're trying to encourage more use of these vehicles. And basically what the legislation did is accelerated the adoption of what they call in the bill clean vehicles by extending a credit that's in place right now of up to $7,500, a federal tax credit when you buy a qualifying vehicle for all electric vehicles, plug-in, some plug-in hybrids, and even cars powered by hydrogen fuel cells. These are considered clean vehicles. And it's going to do some good things, and it's going to take a while to get some things going. There's going to be some confusion on behalf of the consumers for a while. Eventually, this will help increase jobs in America, production of vehicles in America, production of batteries in America, less reliance on foreign sources for the materials, such as lithium, that are needed for the batteries, and will help encourage people to get electric vehicles, because this even includes a provision for the first time to get a tax credit if you buy qualifying used electric vehicles. But for the start, because they're putting some strict rules in place, this is going to make things a little bit more complicated, confusing, I think, and may actually slow things down a little bit before things pick up. So can I explain to you sort of what the three or four major provisions are?
Oh yeah. I mean, we have this blanket headline, but wait till you get to the fine print.
Right. Well, as with everything that Congress does, there's more details beyond the headline. Well, the first thing that took effect immediately with President Biden's signing of the bill into law was that effective immediately, all clean vehicles must be assembled in North America for buyers to qualify for the current federal tax credit. So this disqualifies some vehicles that have already qualified for the tax credit previously that's been in place right now, because that's now the new rule. So, for instance, according to Consumer Reports, Hyundai's Ioniq 5, which is a popular car, Kia's EV6, BMW's i4, and the new Toyota BZ4X no longer will qualify for the federal tax credit because they're not made in the U.S. And starting next year, there are going to be a couple more hoops to jump through. First of all, the SUV, pickup, or van you plan to buy can't cost more than $80,000. There are some vehicles that cost much more than that. For all other EVs, like sedans, cars, that sort of thing, the limit is $55,000. Just to put it into context for some of your listeners, the Tesla Model S sedan is $106,000, so that wouldn't qualify. The Ford F-50 Lightning, some of the versions sell for $97,000, that very popular back-ordered F-150 Lightning, that would not qualify. So that's one hoop. The second hoop is how much you make. Individuals with modified adjusted gross income, that's what you put on your taxes when you're all done, of more than $150,000, or married couples filing jointly with AGIs of more than $300,000 will not qualify for the credit. The goal of Congress here was to give the money to people who need it the most, not to give it to people who have higher incomes. And finally, battery manufacturing standards. This is the bring jobs back to America and let's keep the supply chain from screwing things up. Congress decided that for raw materials, they want the raw materials, and there's a lot of years in place here, but they want the raw materials such as lithium and nickel and cobalt to start coming from the U.S. Can come from recycled batteries done in the U.S., but they want this to start coming from the U.S. because they don't want to rely on China or Russia for these materials. So that needs to be up to 80% by 2026 of the material in those new batteries in those vehicles. And then also they want the components to be made in the United States as well. So that's going to be some qualifying factors that starting next year, A, it's got to be right now, it's got to be manufactured in North America. B, you have to make the income requirements. C, the vehicle has to be of a certain price level. And D, the battery has to be properly made for you to get through all those hoops. So as I said, it's going to be complicated. The other thing that's really good, and everybody I've talked to is really happy with this one, there's now a new tax credit for used electric vehicles or clean cars, and up to $4,000 or 30% of the sales price, which is ever as less, so up to $4,000 or 30%. And again, there's going to be an income qualification here, a modified AGI of less than $150,000 for married couples, less than $75,000 for single filers. The vehicle must be at least 2 years old. They don't want people turning these things and trying to get tax credits. It must only be sold for the first time as used, and the selling price cannot exceed $25,000. But again, this should help more Americans, and especially lower-income Americans who want to get rid of that old gas or diesel clunker, get themselves an electric vehicle. So as we get forward, as the car makers figure this out, as they get the supply chains in place, I think this is going to be very, very positive for consumers and for the country. There's just going to be some problems, I think, in the near future until these things get worked out.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of things to sift through before you can make a decision. I mean, initially what you were describing, some of it seemed to me not that difficult to determine. How much money do you make? Okay, I can figure that out. Buying one of these automobiles cannot exceed a certain price. Good, I get that. Mm-hmm. Then things, to me anyway, as you were describing it, after that, things get a little nutty, at least as far as I'm concerned, with all of the details and the minutia and where the batteries come from and are these cars manufactured in the United States and the elements that are included in the batteries, all of those must have a U.S. origin, as I understand it, at least the way
mostly
you described
US.
It. Yeah. Right?
I think this is going to be taken care of because now that the bill has become law, the federal mm-hmm. government is going to draw up rules and guidelines to explain all of this to the car makers and to consumers. They've got to somehow come up with a labeling requirement, I assume, that tells you this vehicle, this vehicle meets it and qualifies for the tax credit. You know, like on a Chery, it says this qualifies if it works for your tax situation, or this is not a tax deductible contribution. There'll be something there, and or there'll be a breakdown to tell you what parts are made where. You can probably find that in some cases if you look at the invoice that shows where the car was made. But they'll make it easy for people because the goal here is to encourage this. And to encourage the manufacturers, they're going to be proud. They're going to tell you, made in North America, battery components made in America. They're going to shout about that. That's going to be a marketing, you know, because a lot of cars coming from overseas are not going to qualify for this anymore. It's going to give a good shot to the American car makers.
Hey, Herb, I got a question for you. It's David Jennings.
Oh, news guy. Hey, David.
And news guy.
How extensive is the existing ability for companies in the U.S. to find the rare earth minerals they need to make the batteries?
Well, I contacted General Motors and I contacted the association that represents all automobile manufacturers. And while they're not thrilled with how soon these rules come into effect, they all say they knew it was coming. They're all working on it. They believe they've got supply chains in place. For instance, General Motors is actually working on technology where they can take some of the brine water underneath Los Angeles and take it and use it and filter out lithium out of it. I had no idea there's lithium in that water.
Wow.
I guess it's geothermal, and they can actually run some of the heat, the plant on it or something. My friend at the DetroitBureau.com told me all about that. So they're working on it. And remember, some of this material can be recycled, and some of the vehicles are getting old enough that it's going to be time to recycle those batteries. So again, I think it's going to be a slow start. There may be some pushback, and they may ease the rules up a little bit, but I think after we get to initial, like, herky-jerky shifting of cars into gear where you don't know how to do a manual, we're going to get in the right position.
Well, you know, it also sounds, well, it is. It doesn't sound like it is an attempt to spread the use of electric vehicles to counteract climate change and make mm-hmm. them available for all income levels and make it attractive for somebody of a lower bracket, perhaps, to, you know, say, okay, now I'll bite the bullet and I'll go get one of these that are under $50,000 because I make X amount of money and I qualify, and then I'll get the tax credit. That makes
you get the tax credit to bring the sticker price down. Plus, you're not buying gasoline, and you have much less maintenance and a car, you know, so and wear and tear. So again, you get a lot of factors. I have a hybrid. So I'm not all electric yet. But right. when the gas price is, you know, $5.50 a gallon, I'm getting 38 miles a gallon, and mine's not even a good one. I mean, 42 miles a gallon, excuse me. I felt really good. I felt really good that I made a smart decision, let me tell
you. Yeah, oh, I agree. Thank you, Herb. Always great to talk to Herb Weisbaum, a.k.a. the Consumer Man, contributing editor, checkbook.org, and host of the new podcast, Consumerpedia. Thanks, Herb. Always good to talk to you.